Well, hello, friends. Thank you so much for joining us again for another conversation this week. I'm so excited about who we're bringing on and this new series that we're starting that's going to take us over the summer. I am here with my girl, Taylor. Taylor, how are you?
I'm great. I'm honestly feeling very refreshed and invigorated from this conversation we just had with our friend Peyton Frank, who, if you guys are not already familiar with her, she's an incredible wedding cinematographer. She was named one of the best videographers in the world by Harper's Bazaar. She's really just she's not messing around. She's an amazing artist and a very savvy business owner and has a wealth of information to share. But before we get into our episode, there's just a few things that we kind of want to touch on. Like Kelly mentioned, we're starting a new series and Peyton is kicking it off. We are calling this our All-Star series. So over the next several weeks and into summer, we will be bringing on some of the industry's top creatives, from wedding planners, wedding photographers, and filmmakers. So we have a great lineup ready for you guys that we are currently recording, and we're so excited to share all these incredible conversations with you. And we just closed the doors last week to our spring mastermind.
Yes, we did. We kicked things off with our free 3-day workshop, The Road to Luxury. If you joined us for that, thank you again for being a part of that. That was such a special 3 days together. Taylor and I thoroughly enjoyed coaching you guys, bringing new insight and awareness to how you can strategically make really smart business decisions that is really going to change the growth and trajectory of many, many years ahead. So thank you again for being a part of that. And we are so, so excited for the numerous filmmakers and photographers who really decided that this is the year for true growth in their business and joined our 12-week mastermind, the Luxury Mastermind. We have an incredible lineup of speakers that are going to be a part of this one too. We always bring in three all-star speakers. Peyton was actually a speaker in our fall/winter mastermind last year, and she had just such an amazing talk. So many students walked away with a wealth of knowledge after she spoke to them. And if you're someone that was just really on the fence, didn't quite make the commitment into Mastermind, I want to let you know that it is not too late to secure your spot for our next Mastermind that is going to be kicking off in the fall of this year, right? Fall? Yes?
Yes. Late summer? September. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you can head over to thelevelupco.com/RSVP and secure your seat ahead of time. This also comes with a bonus one-on-one coaching call that is only available by RSVPing early to our mastermind program. And we would love to see you inside. Maybe it just wasn't the right time of year for you to hop in, but the fall seems like a better time. And I say go for it. Go big on your dreams. Just do it. It's been so life-changing for so many.
Yeah, it really has. And we're so excited to be kicking off Mastermind next week. But we're going to bring it back to this episode because I'm sure you are on your way to a wedding or you're editing away and you can't wait to listen to what Peyton has to share with us. This is the Level Up Podcast. I'm Taylor Petrinovich.
And I'm Kelly Gilster of 618 Studios.
And we are on a mission to help wedding filmmakers and photographers level up their businesses so you can make more and work less.
We want to help you confidently take your business from mainstream to luxury, and it all starts right here.
Well, Peyton, welcome back to the podcast. We're super excited to have this conversation with you. It's been a long time coming.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to be a part of this summer series that you have.
Yes, thanks for kicking it off for us. And also, thank you again for speaking in our fall-winter mastermind that we had. I loved all of the great knowledge that you provided for our students, and we still get alumni that will hop in on our alumni group and they'll ask questions about certain things. And it was all about, you having the awareness of what was serving your business well and what opportunities to say yes to and what to let pass by. And so I always direct them back to, hey, go rewatch Peyton's talk. Like, she nailed it on the head. I think this would be such a good one for you to kind of have a refresher on. And so thank you again for being a part of that. It was just so enlightening for our students.
Thank you so much. It's such a great group and great community, and I've just loved seeing what you guys have built and are doing for the industry. It's really cool and inspiring.
Thank you. Well, if somebody is listening to this and this is maybe the first time they've heard you speak on a podcast or the first time they're coming across you and your brand, can you give a brief overview, introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, and how you got to where you are?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a lot of ground to cover, but I started out in the wedding industry 10 years ago. I was in college and I started working for a wedding planner in my local market in Dallas-Fort Worth. And that kind of introduced me to this wonderful world of weddings. And I was fortunate enough to come in, you know, getting this planner perspective and seeing kind of all of the different elements that go into a wedding day. So that's really where I started. And then eventually I got into video. I came to it through taking a photography class in college and then later discovering the video mode button on my camera and just falling in love and being like, this is it. This is what I want to do. I had a degree in art history and philosophy, but I decided I was ready to get out into the world and really start working. And I just found this to be a really meaningful and fulfilling career to capture memories and tell stories of real people that are going to outlast us all, you know, that will be handed down for generations. And to me, that's very fulfilling.
That's so cool. It's so true. And I just really love too that we all get to kind of be at the forefront of a brand new career path, something that didn't even exist, you know, 10 years ago. Paul and I have a commercial brand and we did a shoot for a college, Cal State Long Beach a while back. And it was for the arts department there. And one of the things was us filming a cinematography class. And so I just kind of got started chatting with the students and I'm like, what do you want to do with this? Like, or what do you want to do when you graduate? And one of the students said, I want to be a wedding videographer. And I was like, you would have never heard that 10 years ago. It just made me so happy and really excited for just the trajectory of our art form in this industry too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've definitely seen the industry changed so much over the last 10 years. You know, I think that that's really been guided by technology, advancements in how accessible video equipment is and editing, you know, software is. And then in just the demand for video and in social media and people seeing, oh, this is something that I love to watch and I can't imagine having this of myself or of my family and having it forever.
Yeah, so true. And it's crazy to think too, like how the industry itself has moved forward, which allows our art to be, you know, created in ways that it never has before. Like, gone are the days of like the all red roses and only church weddings. I mean, these events that are happening across the globe are, you know, 20 years ago, we would never fathom that people would be putting this much production and money into these events. And you have the ability to shoot them in such a beautiful way. And I think, Peyton, like, it's been so fun watching your career skyrocket. I'm sure that you hear this, you know, semi-often, but it's truly so inspiring to see not only like a female in the industry, like be able to do this, which I love seeing like solo females really thrive, especially in the video world, because it feels like there's so few of us, although there's more now than there ever has been. But really seeing the blend of artistry and like business savvy come together to create something that's just so special and unique. Would you mind just kind of sharing a little bit about how you've kind of gotten to where you are today? And then we'll dig into the topic of this episode after that.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, first and foremost, you know, for the kind words. And it's been really meaningful to me to see, you know, this change happen in the wedding industry. And I think, you know, just globally and in every film industry and in other industries in the world, you know, seeing more and more women and more women on their own come and be able to do things that we haven't seen before. And the more examples we have of that, the more powerful that is. And the more you can, you know, be in college and say, I want to be a wedding filmmaker. Or, I know I can do this, you know, by myself or as a woman. Or, you know, I started out and I didn't have a lot of community. I didn't know any other wedding videographers. They were all, you know, a bunch of guys in Facebook groups that weren't uplifting, that were not welcoming, that weren't anything that I wanted to be a part of. And it took years, you know. I think it was probably good for me because it means I spent more time in community with photographers and planners and florists and other creatives and building those relationships. But it felt, you know, lonely and like I was on my own little island. So it's just really nice to have seen so many different communities, you know, come out of how things have changed. And it's been incredible to be a part of. So thank you. But yeah, I think a lot of my success has been because of other women who have seen potential in me or have appreciated, you know, my artistic vision and my skill set and have nurtured that and have gone out of their way to support me and encourage me and connect me with their clients or with other people that they think that I should know. Wendy Kay with Birds of a Feather, she was one of the, you know, big champions of my career since college and continues to be. And I met other people. I met Amanda Slater, who introduced me to KT Mary, and then KT Mary had a huge impact on my career in 2020. And I was really able to begin serving a higher end clientele. I was able to kind of tie my brand into her brand, which was built on a lot of trust and expertise. And through that, I was able to have other opportunities to work with other people like Lynn Easton. And then I would meet Samantha Roberts, who does her social media, who would introduce me to Marcy Bloom. And, you know, it's really just this kind of circle of trust and support. And you know, I do believe that many of these women, Lynn and KT, like, they see this is rare for a woman to be doing this, and we support that, and we respect that, and we know what that takes. I think Lynn Easton is incredible, and she's been in this for a long time, and she sees and recognizes, you know, the world's changed, and we have so much opportunity, and it's just incredible. So I think it's just finding your people and finding people who support you and have a similar vision in terms of how you want to serve clients and create a business and be creatively and personally fulfilled.
Yeah, that's so cool. And it is so true. Like 14 years ago when I got into this, there was hardly any other women in the industry. And I'm like kind of embarrassed to say, but for the longest time, I would sign all of our emails as Paul because like I didn't feel like I was good enough or like respected enough by like either clients or like there just wasn't really other girls in the filmmaking world. And so, I mean, I did that for like probably like the first 6 years of our business. Like I signed all the emails as Paul because I was like, which was really interesting because there was a much different tone when I signed the emails as me versus when I shifted gears and signed them as Paul. And so then that's kind of what led me to be like, well, I guess I should just like continuously sign them as Paul. And now it's just really, really exciting to see in the last 5 years, just that huge shift happen and really have other women championing for you. And that now I don't have to like really like cower behind like, you know, my husband being like thinking he's the lead when really I've been the lead the whole time, but we've just kind of like played pretend on that to fit the mold of what we felt like was okay within the industry. So yeah, it's so cool to hear that like you've just really gained this beautiful growth in your business because of other women that have like lifted you up and seen so much potential in you.
Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, once you get there, as you're on that journey, being intentional about that. It doesn't mean, oh, I only refer other women when I have a lead that's not a good fit. It means that I look at all of the great options and I intentionally choose to present, you know, a diverse group of options, or having women second shooters on your team. I think that you do have to be intentional about it, and there's so much talent. And so just knowing if that's a value that you have, to be intentional about it. And it's not just choosing a woman because they're a woman, but it's, you know, not forgetting that you have to think about that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So true. So this topic, we wanted to talk about this specifically because Taylor and I were talking about this before we hit record, and we told you about it as well, that you do just, you've done also just such a beautiful job of weaving in your personal brand to your professional brand in a way where they're like really a beautiful blend. Like they're like a marriage together, where everything in your curated professional brand is so like well thought out. And it's the same way with your personal brand too. Taylor and I were saying, like, when we think of Peyton, like, say at home, we think of like her reformer and like her afternoon matchas. And it's just really cool. I think that there's not enough people, photographers, filmmakers, planners, that do a good job like blending the two worlds together. Is that something that you felt like you tackled with a certain strategy in mind, or did it just kind of come naturally to you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a combination. I think that, you know, there was a point where I got really intentional about what I was going to show because I realized how powerful branding is and how powerful your personal brand is. I think that, you know, just throughout my life, it's something that I've always been thoughtful about. And when social media and Instagram came around, and I was using it kind of for the first time in college, I was really excited by it. I was really excited by this opportunity to like present yourself in this kind of curated way. And I don't think that that's inauthentic, but there was a point where I was like, okay, I'm going to make a separate Instagram account, like a personal Instagram account. I call that my Finsta. And that's a private account. I let some friends, sometimes an industry friend will end up on there. Mostly family. It's just one of those places where it's like, if I want to post something that's extra silly or something that doesn't feel like, okay, potential clients, potential collaborators, they don't need to see this. Would they enjoy it? Probably, but it's not for the public. You know, I think as I've gotten older, I've also become just more private about certain things and wanting certain separation. So it was just kind of a natural evolution. But I think, you know, it is something that you need to think about, is what is the story that you're telling through your social media? And is, if your social media is, you know, your business, then you need to be thoughtful about that. And so for me, I think, you know, I want to show a version of myself that I'm comfortable with my clients seeing. And, you know, I see that my clients will continue to look at my stories and stuff for years. And it's really cool that I can share some things that they value as well. You know, my travels, stuff with, you know, interior design, food. You know, I think that these are things that resonate with me, and they resonate with a lot of my clients as well. So it's interesting to see kind of those things combine. And then I think, you know, there's certain things, like you said, the matcha or Pilates or whatever, that kind of have been like reoccurring themes that people, you know, like to message me and talk about. And it's kind of fun to just show up in a consistent way, or my cats, stuff like that. And I think it's this balance of like being true to you and sharing what excites you in an authentic way, but also making sure, you know, does this belong on here? Like, is this productive? Do I feel like, you know, just sharing a silly video or something that's really funny that maybe just should be for friends and close family? You know, I think I've also just been more aware of like, once something's out there forever, and it can be used out of context. It can be screenshot, whatever. So I am a very silly, very real, down-to-earth person, and I'll make like very funny, silly reels that I post on my private page. But it's like, I would never want that to be like taken and put onto TikTok or like something without my permission, you know. Not that that's going to happen, that I'm that funny, but you know, you just have to think about that kind of stuff and think about what story are you telling, and is that productive to your brand or not?
Yeah, I think so many people forget that Instagram is a marketing tool to be used as such, and every piece of content you choose to share, whether that be your work, whether that be sharing inspiration or those glimpses of your personal life, your personality, things like that, like all of those things are building your brand for you, and you have complete control over that. And Kelly and I were just recording another episode about an hour ago, and one thing that we said in there was, it's kind of like a callback to what our moms told us when we were kids. Like, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. And I feel like it's the same thing. Like, if you don't have a purpose for what you want to share, then like maybe don't share it. You know, if it's not a part of a bigger purpose. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like things we see a lot of. What I would kind of say, like maybe faux pas in the wedding world, specifically with accounts that we follow, and that can be anything from like complaining about being sick or sharing, you know, maybe just like embarrassing things or complaining about your vendor team that you just worked on with a wedding or things like that. And it's like, it's such a reflection of your brand, and is it telling the story that you want to be telling? I think it's okay to like share these things like you do, like in private settings or via text message or whatever it may be. But I think really thinking twice about hitting publish to your stories is a practice more people would really benefit from.
Yeah, I mean, I think even in private Facebook groups, I see this with, you know, photography groups, video groups, where someone might want to complain about a photographer or client, and they'll use videos or photos from that wedding. And I just think, you know, that can be screenshot, that can be shared elsewhere. Like, that is a client who has paid you, or a creative vendor who has a business. And I just don't think that's the right way to ever go about things, you know. And I think that I've seen lately more of a conversation about how, you know, we shouldn't be sharing our clients' content before they've seen it and approved it or had the opportunity to just share it first. And I'm very glad that that conversation is happening. I've seen things that are shared that maybe they're funny or cute or could be a viral moment, and they get a lot of traction. But I always think, did the client approve that first? Like, did the client know that that was going to go viral? Did they consent to that? I mean, that's their wedding day. Those are their most private moments. Those are their faces. And I think it is something that we really need to be, you know, discussing in the industry. For me, you know, client privacy is everything. And respecting the vendor team, being, you know, one collaborative team is so important. And so I think just continuing that conversation and asking ourselves, is this helpful? Is this necessary? Is this okay with everybody? We have a lot of power. We have a lot of really private moments and personal moments that are recorded. And I always put myself in, you know, their shoes and think, would I be okay being presented this way? Would I be okay, even if it's the most beautiful, wonderful thing in the world, would I be okay seeing that moment for the first time on someone I paid's Instagram? And the answer is absolutely not, you know. And I think there was a time where that didn't even cross our minds, but times are changing. Video is more powerful. It's more shareable. It has more potential to be viral or to be ripped off your page and be used in ads or other content that we don't consent to. So it's just a conversation we have to continue having and having with our clients and our collaborators and, you know, respecting that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up too, because I think that that's something that not enough people really have like the wherewithal, like just yet. Not everybody has come to that conclusion that like what you're delivering to your client, like that should be, they shouldn't be reliving those moments or reliving, like, Taylor, there was someone who we were talking about, I think it was one of your past students who is engaged or got married, and they were like on a flight to their honeymoon, and then they landed and they had service, and they saw that like their teaser had been posted like hours prior with like tons of comments already and views. And it was like, she never even really knew that she felt that way until it happened to her.
I was going to say, I think people do it so innocently, and I'm not saying it's malicious or, you know, you're trying to wrong people or being selfish. I just think maybe it hasn't been a conversation. And as social media changes, we have to put ourselves in those shoes and really think through that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the sentiment of know better, do better. Like, we can't blame our parents for, like, decisions they made, like, you know, raising us as kids. The world has changed, and now we can do better for our kids. It's kind of the same thing, like, what was okay 5 years ago isn't okay now, but now we know better, so we can continually do better. And I think it's something that a lot of people don't think about until they hear a conversation like the one that we're having, to spark that in them. And now maybe moving forward in 2024 and beyond, they will adopt new practices. Kelly and I have a course together. It's called the Luxury Framework. And actually, like, this is something we cover in depth. There's a lot of these etiquette things on making sure you deliver things to your clients before sharing publicly. And I think that's what it is. It's etiquette. And along with a lot of different pieces and nuances of etiquette within the industry, it's something that you really need to learn, and you probably never consider it as being an issue until someone brings it to your attention. So that's what we're here to do for you if you're listening to this.
No, yeah. I mean, I definitely know that I probably made mistakes. I mean, I was such a young filmmaker when I started. I was 21. So like, there's things that you kind of gain just automatically over time as you get older. And like Peyton, how you're saying, like, you now bring a new level of privacy to your own life. I think that that's something that naturally kind of occurs as you get older too. And one thing that I kind of wanted to go back to that I loved what you said was that you're actively kind of self-auditing that the things that you're sharing from your personal life are things that your clients also value. And I just love that you said that, because it is so true, that when someone is kind of maybe, you know, say they're like, okay, I want to go about this in sharing my life in a, you know, an authentic but a curated authentic way, but they don't know where to get started. I think a lot of it has to do with identifying your ideal client and understanding what your ideal client also values, so that when you're sharing those personal moments, it's relating to them in a specific way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I always am authentic to myself. I am not, you know, trying to identify a client and then just making guesses on what they like and then going and trying to be that. I think that it's probably really obvious if you're just trying to make pretend. You know, like, I'm never going to make pretend that I'm someone who cares a lot about like labels or, you know, certain designer things or stuff like that. Like, there's just certain things that, you know, I really love and light me up and want to share. And I know that, you know, most of my clients, since I do destination work, they love travel too, or they love experiences, or they love food. And people will say, oh, well, where was this? Whatever. And I also know, you know, how do I enjoy using social media? And I want to share, you know, things that I enjoy from other people too. So I think it's just kind of sitting down and being intentional. I had a friend who had told me she read something once, and I don't remember exactly, but she would always ask herself like 5 questions before sharing something, of like, was it inspirational? Was it uplifting? Was it true? Was it authentic? Like, just a set of questions and coming up with, you know, something like that, just to filter it, because social media is so immediate and you can post things without thinking. And, you know, I just think that it's important to have some kind of filter before you just go in and share everything. And I'm not saying, oh, you can't be personal, you can't share the bad moments or family or the messy moments. You absolutely can. I mean, I follow so many people who it's like, that's what I love, is like, I don't even follow them for their wedding work. I love their family life. Or, you know, I just think that this can look so many different ways, but you just want to be intentional about it. And if your brand is all about being a working mom and balancing it, and that resonates with your creative partners or the story and message you want to share, like, go with that and run with that and share that and spread your message. But I just think it is, you know, it's just giving a little thought into it and being intentional and understanding, like, what you share is a message. So being aware of that.
Yeah. Okay, this is also great. I have one question. You said social media is so instant, and that kind of sparked a question. Because I know how I do it, I know how Kelly does it, but I would love to know about you. We're huge advocates of not posting necessarily in the moment, kind of letting the moment breathe. And that can look from anything from like behind the scenes of a wedding day, you know, just like the iPhone shots or what have you, travel, things like that. Like, what's your philosophy on maybe like letting things breathe or posting things spontaneously? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, so I think first and foremost, this depends on the project, the client, the creative team, and also me. Like, there are so many different factors. I don't just have one standard across the board. I'm sure, you know, some people do, and that works really well for them. But for me, I want to know, you know, what are the client's expectations? What are the planner's expectations? What's the photographer doing? I always have this conversation ahead of time of, hey, are we sharing real time? Are we sharing previews on, you know, Monday? Are we sharing previews 2 weeks later? Are we sharing nothing? Are we waiting for publication? Like, you just kind of want to know what the expectation is. You know, if a client is all about social media and they want all eyes on them, or maybe the planner wants all eyes on this wedding, then yeah, like, share some stuff, do whatever. You don't have to go crazy. But I think just kind of understanding, like, what is the rollout strategy of this wedding? I've been really fortunate enough to work with Samantha Roberts, who I mentioned earlier. I worked with her on a lot of Easton events, weddings, Marcy Bloom wedding, Engage. She does the social media for them as well. And I learned so much about just how she thinks through all of this and has, you know, a set of standards and just clear communication about what the strategy is and what the message is. And so I think if you don't have someone kind of running the show on that, it's okay to ask questions and get everyone on the same page. And I'll be honest, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes I will be like, hey, I know you guys want to share this like in a week or 2 weeks, like, let's create a strategy. I made all these reels, whatever. And then nothing ever happens and no one is organized and they're just sharing things whenever they feel like it. And that's fine. People are busy. But sometimes people are like, okay, great. Like, here's what we're going to share on Monday and then this on Tuesday. And then, you know, a real strategy rollout. And that can be really powerful and it can make people feel like, whoa, this wedding was everywhere. And did you see this and that? And all of that, that can be really cool and really, really powerful. And personally, I just think that that's really fun. But, you know, you can only control what you can control on every wedding. But I think it's definitely worth communicating about, especially now that we have collaborative post. That simply requires a lot of communication. People are probably not just gonna accept your collaboration if you just invite them without talking about what the caption is, who's going to be the main poster of it, what the cover image is. You know, I think that you just kind of have to get on the same page and, you know, I'll have a text thread with someone and it can take some time for everyone to agree if photographer, videographer, planner are all being on a collaborative post of, you know, what's the right tone and what's the right cover image. And, you know, it's just a little bit of extra work, but it can be really impactful and it can work really well in some instances.
Yeah, I love that you said that too, because sometimes I'll get a collaboration invitation and I don't accept. And it's so good to know too that like there is so much strategy behind that. There's conversations that need to be had. It's not just some people I think that are listening maybe just thinking that if you get a collaboration post, you have to accept it or that person has to accept it for you. And I think it was 2 years ago, we had an event and I had not even really thought about it, but I asked the planner to be a collaborator on it. And it could be like she hadn't seen the reel beforehand. But then what it was they didn't actually produce the welcome party. And there was like some shots of like welcome party bags in that. And she basically was like, hey, I love the film so much. I'm just not going to accept the collaboration because we didn't produce this welcome party. And like, I just don't really want like some of this extra things, the welcome bags, things like that, that we didn't actually design and have our hand in it. It wasn't really a reflection of our brand. And that's why I'm not. And that was actually really sweet. She didn't need to like, she could have just declined it and moved along, but it was really sweet to hear her explain it to me. And that was like an aha moment for me too, that there needs to be a deeper level and layer of collaborating with the creative team as a whole. So that's really cool that you guys do all that.
Yeah, totally. So that's just kind of my approach. I think everyone can take their own approach, but I do think when you're working with a planner, they are also your client. So showing them the video, showing them, you know, a plan or whatever, asking them if they have a plan is just as important. You know, they're the ones who have spent sometimes a year or more working on this wedding and making everything happen so that you had something beautiful and special to capture. So I do just like to include them or think of them the same as the client. Of course, client has final say on what gets to be shared. And sometimes, you know, you don't get to share anything, not even a ultra wide tint shot with no people. And that's okay. That's part of my brand. And that's part of, you know, what I've worked really hard to be able to serve that type of client who can throw a fabulous party and, you know, just want to keep it for themselves. That's completely fine. And so, you know, just having these conversations ahead of time and thinking through things and ultimately being able to let go if it doesn't go exactly your way.
Yeah. I mean, I think it too, as you scale into the luxury market, you know, ultra luxury market, you are going to find more instances where an NDA is presented to you or a partial NDA. I know that Taylor on a previous episode that we just recorded, she was saying, I'm going to be kind of quiet this year on Instagram because a majority of my clients are all NDA clients. And she's like, you know, it's a little bit sad, but then again, like, you know, I'm serving the client that I want to serve. And I think all of us kind of value, because we value privacy in our own lives, we also value a client who wants that for themselves too. And like you said, Peyton, like the ability for them to throw this huge wedding and celebration and not feel like they need to share it with anything else, with anybody else, I think is just such a powerful thing as well. And the fact that we get to play a part in preserving their privacy is something that I know that we don't hold lightly. And for listeners too, when you are presented with that, definitely don't take that lightly as well. And be like Peyton, be a team player. Don't fight for it. Just, you know, kind of go with the flow. And that's really what's going to set you apart. We get asked so many times, well, how do you provide a luxury experience, like an elevated client experience? And a lot of times it is just being that true team player and listening to the client and understanding where they're coming from. And by not fighting it, going with the flow, that's a really good way to be serving your client really well. So Taylor, any final things that we can ask Peyton in this episode?
No, I think this is so great. I love all the different tangents we went down. And I think that honestly, I can count on two hands how many takeaways people will walk away with from this one. So Peyton, if somebody hasn't already been following you already, where can they find you online to watch your beautiful work and get in touch?
Yeah, Instagram's definitely the best place. It's just at Peyton Frank, P-E-Y-T-O-N Frank. And feel free to DM me. I would love to hear, you know, if you took away anything from this episode, if you disagree with anything, that's okay too. You know, I think this process, this journey of being a creative entrepreneur, being an artist, just living on earth, is learning from a million different perspectives and a million different experiences and synthesizing, you know, what resonates most with you. So I would love to hear, you know, if anything resonated with you, if it didn't, if you've implemented anything or what your approach is. I just love to hear from people and you know, I always appreciate that. But yeah, follow along. I will say sometimes I go stretches where I don't post anything on Instagram, and that's okay too. Maybe I don't feel inspired, or I'm working really hard behind the scenes, or I'm just so busy working for a client that it's just like not even a thought. So, but follow along. I try to share, you know, when I feel inspired to do so. But thank you all for listening, and hope to be back soon.
Thank you for joining us in today's conversation. Please help us reach more filmmakers and photographers like you by taking a screenshot and sharing it to social media. And don't forget to tag us at The Level Up Co.
And join us again next week, same time, same place, as we continue to level up the industry together.